Hey everyone, it's Cynthia.
Hi, it's Samantha.
Welcome back to Glow Factor. Thank you guys for tuning in again.
Happy New Year. Happy 2025.
Yes, closer to our goals. So we're here today. We just wanted to just give you guys a little more background so you guys can understand of who we are and a little background of our...
like family and like family dynamics. So I think it'll be a cool thing to start off the year kind of... introducing us and how we became the person we are today and what we overcame in the past. So I think it'll be a good like reflection episode to just talk about like how our family, you know, saw like feelings or like how they coped with their feelings and all those things. So I think that'll be super fun to talk about today.
Yes. And so you guys are aware, we're going to be talking also about the concepts about attachment styles and how that has started from day one. Also about being able to overcome traumas and a lot of inner work that we continue to do. And we really hope that you also are able to learn something.
Yeah. So we can just start off too, just to talk about, I feel like we can go all the way back to like when our parents came to the States, like to like America. So I think like that was like a big factor of how we grew up, because obviously our parents weren't born here. So I'm sure that we have like listeners that are also like first generations here. And our culture and our background are a little bit different than the ones that are born here originally, or like with parents that were born here. My mom came here, I think, when she was like around 24, 23. And my dad came like late 20s. So I think that has a lot to deal with how they deal with like hardships and emotions, hard emotions, because I'm sure like when they were here, it was hard for them to even like maneuver like in a country where where they didn't even know the language. So I think like that was like a big part of their obstacle, is just to like focus on like working, you know, progressing in like the United States and all those things, which obviously led no room for them to like learn about who they are, or like not who they are necessarily, but like knowing about how to like, you know, cope with their emotions. I don't think they had like the luxury and like the time to even like think about, how do I feel today? Or like, what do I have to do to feel better? Like, they literally were just thinking about, how do I make the next rent or the next payment. So I feel like that's like a big part of like why my family specifically is a little bit more having like difficulty on kind of like maneuvering around their emotions, because they really did not grow up like that, you know, learning more about themselves through like their emotions and how they feel.
Yeah. A little background about my family. So I'm pretty sure Samantha mentioned, but her family is actually from Bolivia.
Oh no, I did not. So my parents are from Bolivia.
My parents are Salvadorian. So my mom actually came in her like late 20s, and my dad, I think he came in his like mid 20s or something like that, but they met here just as Samantha's parents met here too. Mm-hmm. Growing up, at least so you can understand, both my parents are the firstborns. So I think that also has a lot to do with the mentality of how they
like perceive. Like the first kid.
Yes. Okay. How they perceive things, very similar to how Samantha explained it. I think that's a very common Latino thing, or just any immigrant parents. It's just, you know, having the hustle mindset of, I have to assure that I have a roof over my head, and everything else is considered as luxury.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I think that also ties to a lot of our parents when, you know, we talk about our emotions, or if we like go up to our parents saying, oh, like, I'm depressed or I have anxiety, and they're like, what is that? You know, because like, I'm sure they felt that, and I'm sure they went through those emotions, but they didn't have enough time to actually discover it and, like, just go through it and, like, you know, feel it and understand what it is. I think they just, like, occupy their mind with, you know, getting the rent paid and, like, the bills paid. And I think that's, like, that's, like, obviously really understandable, because you know, what are you gonna do if you don't pay your rent here, right?
Exactly.
But I think, like, the way I look at it is, I'm so grateful my parents made that big jump from coming from, like, a third world country to America for their family, for the future. And that is something that, like, that's a huge accomplishment, because, like, I always picture, like, myself, like, what if my parents didn't come here, you know, like, what would my life look like? So I think that's, like, a big battle that they went through, an accomplishment, like, a huge accomplishment in their life. And I think for me, my accomplishment is to kind of heal, like, generational traumas and all those things. I think that's what I feel like I, like, that's my accomplishment. So then my generation, like, my kids and kids, like, they would have a better way to deal with their emotions, have, like, a secure attachment and all those things. And I think that's my big battle to face, you know, for my future generations.
Yeah. I completely agree with you, and I think that's very relatable. I feel like with myself, I know Samantha mentioned the whole aspect of mental health. As a person who, I believe from an early age, I've always had anxiety. I just never knew what it was considered. And I've also do struggle with me bringing my chart of different things that I have.
The whole list.
Also, like, depression and also ADHD. It's things that I really wish early on that I would have understood, but in the same time, I don't blame my parents. And that's mm-hmm. a very common thing that I've had to learn, is to be more gentle with myself and mm-hmm. also remind ourselves, is, like, as we have an inner child within us, our parents exactly. do have that also.
Yeah.
And, at least with my parents, like, my mom was very big, like, whenever I would, like, get upset, she would be like, "Eres tan amargada," which in English is kind of like, "You're just so bitter." Mm-hmm. But in the same time, you know, having a mental health issue, obviously, that's no excuse. In the same time, when there's a chemical imbalance, mm-hmm. you can't help how you're going to react. You're not going to... It's like the small things will, especially the moment you wake up, it really will impact how you are and how you project yourself onto others. So, yeah, like, that's definitely something I want to really assure that my children, and I continue to teach my parents and everyone else about, because I definitely have realized, like, in the Latino community, talking about mental health, talking about all this stuff, it is viewed as taboo.
Yeah. And I think that's also, like, a big thing why our attachment styles became to be, because, for example, my family showing, like, emotions or, like, crying in front of people, it's considered to be, like, why don't you have the strength enough to control your emotions in front of people? Like, why aren't you strong enough to actually, like, know how to control your body? You know, like, that's what they like, my family views this at, like, as. And I think that's why, a big reason why I, you know, identify myself as an avoidant, or, like, I used to. And that's just a lot of, like, trauma, you know, generational. And I'm sure my parents, they just didn't really view that as strong. They just more viewed it as more vulnerable. Like, why are you being so vulnerable? Like, that's not gonna get you far, you know? So
yeah, I definitely believe that the whole concept of, like, just sweeping under the rug is something that I feel like a lot of people who aren't comfortable talking about it, that is how they're able to cope through it. In particular with my family, growing up, my mom was very involved in the church. So my mom spent majority of my childhood, I do believe, at church. And I think that's where my anxiety stems from, because my mom was trying to deal with her own traumas, and her way of being able to, the outlet was through church and to be able to heal. And then versus the way my dad was, my dad's more of like an avoidant individual. And I think it's also to do with like a lot of Latinos, particularly in the Salvadoran community. It's kind of like the way that they show love is I put food in your mouth. And, you know, when I come home, I don't want to do anything besides just relax. And I think spending my childhood majority of the time alone, I obviously do have a sister, but there's a very huge age gap that I did feel like a lot of it was, there was a lot of frustration with myself and understanding the world. And that's why I'm always advocating for like going to therapy, because if you don't realize, hey, like there might be something, you know, especially with like talking about traumas or like the inner child, if you don't talk about it, eventually it is like quicksand, like eventually it's gonna get to you somewhere somehow. It's like, just like, what is it, the pebble until it shatters the glass window.
I think
that's what it is. I think that's it. But you get what I'm saying.
I like when you mentioned about like how your parents are, they didn't go through like, you know, therapy, they didn't go through their emotions. And a big lesson that really helps me not feel like resentment or, you know, hard feelings towards my parents is they're not like heroes. You know, when we're younger, like we always view them like, oh, they know everything. Like, especially me, like I was super like obedient. I was like, okay, like my mom knows best, and like obviously like to an extent they do, because they do have more like life experience than us. But I like, a lot of people view their parents like as heroes, but when you start growing up, you start realizing that like they're just human beings that decided to have kids, you know. They're not like, just for example, like what if me and you, like we ended up having kids right now, right, and we're not fully healed, we're gonna pass that on to our children. So, and I obviously, like I mentioned before, like our parents didn't have time to go through their inner work, do their inner work, like cure, you know how to like control their anger or like their emotions, you know, that won't affect their kids. So like, I think it's really important to know that our parents are just human beings, just like us, that have their own issues, that had their parents that also went through their generational trauma and actually didn't have the luxury and time to even, you know, even do this, talk about this, listen to podcasts about like self-improvement, read books. Like they had no time. They were literally like hustling and trying to have like create a better life for us, you know. So I think that's like, I don't know, that's just like a great like you know, mentality to have, because it's like you're giving your parents grace. It's not okay, like you did this to me, you should know better because you're my mom. You know, like they're still human. So
yes,
I think that's something that I always remember.
Remember how we talked about like a couple weeks ago, I'm pretty sure it was in Lady Balls, about the whole concept of you,
it's like, a book. It's, yes, a book we're reading.
It's a book we're reading. And I think that she mentions the whole concept of like, from the moment, it is trauma. She talks about trauma. She talks about like, basically your mom, from the moment you're in her like tummy or her womb, you already are getting a version, or getting like the nutrients of whatever version of trauma she has, because of the fact that
you're inheriting it. Yeah.
Yes. And
through utero. Yeah.
Yes. So that's how it starts. And that's the thing, is like, you know, I think as an early on age, you know, we never realize it, but like the best people to actually learn more about understanding like boundaries, trauma, things like that, is like looking at little kids. Because, and I keep saying this, because little kids, they have no chill. Like they will,
no filter
at all. And they really are able to express themselves in the best way they can, obviously through screaming and all that stuff, pushing people away. But in the same time, it's like, if you at an early age are not able to, like if your parents can't detect, hey, like my daughter is having this, or hey, my son is having this, it's like little by little they're just automatically just assuming that you're just like this angry individual. But if you're not getting like the proper education behind, hey, my child might be autistic or this, that's kind of where there is a big, I feel like that kind of goes with society, is society's already putting some type of label on you because you don't fit into some particular type of box.
Yeah, I agree. I also want to talk about, like, you know, obviously, like, our background, our family, but I think, like, a big part of why I'm also, like, avoidant and love my space is because of, like, my early childhood as well. So, obviously, like, my parents, they obviously couldn't, like, afford something, like a home, like, off the bat. So, my family, we actually lived in, like, one room. We rented one room with, like, my brother, my mom, my dad, and I. So, we lived there for, like, a couple years. And I remember we were, like, super crowded. Like, it was, like, a basic, like Latino, like, household, but in a room. So, we rented that. And after that, we, like, moved to our home where I live now. But even that didn't feel like home for a while because we would rent our rooms to, like, different people, like, different families. Like, every room had, like, a family in it. And obviously, that's a big reason why we could afford at that time, like, our home and our mortgage. So I feel like around that time, like, I still didn't feel like my home was my home. So that's why I always love my alone time, because I felt like I never had that growing up. I never had, like, I think, like, I had my room, like, my own room when I was, like, in middle school. Like, that was when I started having, like, my own room. Like, I was so excited. I'm like, I'm gonna have my alone time finally. Like, you know, and I think that also created a little bit of more, like, not, like, avoidant, but, like, more reserved. So, like, I feel like that's a big reason why I love my alone time. Like, I'm not, like, a big extrovert. Like, I feel like having your own space is so important when you grow up. And I learned that too. And obviously, like, I'm so grateful that my parents, like, were able to find a solution to even afford a home like this. And I'm super lucky. But I feel like also, like, I didn't feel like my house felt like a home till, like, middle school when I had, like, my own room. So, like, I don't know, me and Cynthia, we, like, were roommates in college.
Oh, God.
We were roommates in college. And I would always say, like, goodnight to everyone because we had, like, like me and then three other roommates. Me and then you, yes. And two other roommates. So I would always say goodnight to them. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to sleep. And I would literally go upstairs and, like, still, like, be awake, do my own thing, just because I needed my space and my alone time. Like,
yeah, it's
I
think that's,
yeah, it's like my boundary. And I learned that so much because I feel like it's so important to, like, declutter your mind, your energy, everything, all that. So I think that's why I'm more, like, a little bit more reserved with, like, my space. So, like, I think that's what I related to.
Yeah, I love that. Period. Yes, period. I definitely feel like the whole aspect of being alone, it's so funny you say that because I felt like a couple years ago, the thought about me being alone was, like, the biggest fear of my life. Yeah. Like, I remember that my therapist once asked me, what is your biggest fear? And my whole thing, you know, a normal person might have said, like, oh, dying. Like, no, mine's just being alone. Because in the same time, I've always explained this is, like, I felt like I could be in a room filled with people that loved me and everything, but I still would feel alone. And I have realized, especially as I have learned to kind of cope through my traumas, identify also my mental health issues, that being alone is the most sacred thing that you could do. It's kind of like how you're able to overcome something is to be able to actually face it. Like, the being uncomfortable is the most scariest but the most amazing, rewarding feeling in the world. Because now I realize, like Samantha was saying, like, it's so funny. I feel like Samantha can tell you before, like, I was always out and about. Yes. And never wanted to go home.
You were like a busy being. You were really like, I was like, when does she have time to hang out with all these people? Like, I remember, like, I was just like, that takes a lot of me, because, like, I have a social battery. So, like, I was just like, I was like, wow, Like, I was impressed, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, I was impressed, too. But now it's funny, really funny you said that, because I feel like now it's definitely not like that. Like, mm-hmm. I have to use my calendar. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to see this person this day. Mm-hmm. And I've also have learned, too, is just respecting your time, but also the other person's time. And realize that, you know, your time is very precious. So just don't place it onto anything that's there. Be very mindful.
Yeah. I think, like, after you told me that about yourself, like, that made me understand more about your attachment style. Because I remember you said when you were little, like, you felt alone because your dad, like, didn't want to play yes. or, like, spend time. And then your mom was a little bit more busy. So I was, like, obviously lucky enough to, like, have a sibling, so I had, like, a companion there, you know, like, growing up. But I understand why now, like, you know, that you really value friendship. Obviously, like, mm-hmm. friendships are really important, but, you know, you really enjoy it.
It's funny that you say that because, you know, I think that when I think of, like, friendships, it's, like, I have drastically changed, and I do believe this is the best version of myself. And I will continue to grow. But, you know, I feel like as you think of, like, friendship, it's kind of like the food that you put in your body. It's kind of like the people that you have in your life are a reflection of who you are. And I feel like the amount of people that I have now in my life, there's not many, but in the same time, they're very meaningful friendships. Mm-hmm. And I definitely did not realize, like, when I was so young, I had a friendship that was extremely toxic, and I didn't even know that friendships could be toxic. I knew about relationships being toxic, but never, like, a friendship. And I feel like that also was, like, a big thing that, you know, did cause a lot of my trauma and a lot of, like, me fearing being alone and all these things. And it's funny because, like, you know, as a child, I felt like I resented a lot of people, and, like, a lot of people also told me, like, I'm so scared to tell you stuff. Like, I feel like I have to walk on eggshells. And it's like, I didn't realize that because I had so much healing to do that people were so scared that I was basically like a ticking time bomb. And I'm very thankful and grateful that I'm able to I've been able to learn to just kind of, like, disconnect myself from whatever emotions I have, because, you know, emotions are temporary.
Yeah.
And, like, the actions that you do are overall, those are permanent.
Lasting, yeah.
Yes. So I have realized that, like, as I've gotten older and, like, I've gotten closer to my parents, and I've also forgiven myself and forgive my parents for, you know, whatever trauma they have might cause me, you know, like you've mentioned, is, like, they're just human.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did the best what they can do. I'm forever thankful for all the lessons I've learned, because I feel like I am a great human being. And that's obviously thanks to my parents. And, like, what I have learned is, like, especially I've gotten older, like, and I explain things to my mom's, like, now she understands me so well, and she's, like, wow, like, she's, like, I wish I knew this, and I was just, like, well, you know, like, it's kind of, like, what they say, like, as you get older, your parents do become your friends, and they also become your own children, and I love that. I'm, like, always have to lecture to my parents.
Yeah, it's because, I think because our generation is just more... I'm speaking for myself because, like, we have the luxury, I'm saying this again because we really do, like, we do actually have the luxury to learn more about what's in us and not, like, what's around us, because I feel like our parents were more focused on, like, the outside world, the outside environment, and they completely forgot about, like, what was inside them and how the external factors affected their internal, you know, internal body. So I think, like, that's also, like, really important to remember. But I feel like with our family background, like, that obviously affected our relationships with, like, people around us, like, friendships, romantic relationships, like, even, like, external or, like, extended family relationships. So I think, like, we've mentioned before that our families weren't really, like, not accepting, but didn't really understand the concept of depression, anxiety. So I feel like that kind of led me on a route towards, like, an avoidant attachment style. Mm-hmm. So I think with my romantic relationships, like, I was, like, not, like, yeah, I was not really fully invested. I was not vulnerable because, obviously, like, my family's, like, you should know how to control your emotions. Like, that's really going to affect you. And, like, and I'm not saying to fully just, like, let loose and, like, you know, just cry or, like, not control your emotions at all. But vulnerability really brings you closer to that other person. And I feel like in my relationships, at least what I feel like what I think, that I never really, like, allowed myself to be fully vulnerable because I always had that mentality of, like, you need to control your emotions. You need to think more with, like with your brain and not, like, what your body's saying, you know? So I think, like, that kind of affected my romantic relationships too, where I always would keep them from, like, at arm's, like, length, yeah. And being vulnerable was something, like, scary to me.
Allergic.
Yeah. Like, you know how you were, like, your biggest fear was, like, being alone?
Yeah.
Mine was, like, being vulnerable.
Yeah.
So, like, it's so funny how we're so different. But, obviously, like, that was kind of something that I got a chance to learn about, like, where that comes from. And, and literally, like, my family, so.
Yeah, it's true. It's very, very true. And it's funny because, like, when you don't know where your, like, what your triggers are, or we don't know about your, like, mental health issues, it does project into your relationships. And, you know, I feel like that's a thing, like, you've mentioned this, like, you are trying your best to be more vulnerable. And I think that's, to some extent, it's funny because I feel like when I was, like, a couple years ago, I was beyond the words vulnerable. And now I have really built a wall, and I'm learning to kind of allow people in little by little. And it is interesting because, like, a person who is avoidant, you know, like, how they handle it is by disconnecting themselves versus someone who is anxious. What we do is, you know, have a tendency of, like, oversharing, or we have a tendency of feeling like we need constant reassurance. And, you know, eventually it gets exhausting. But in the same time, like, I think about, like, my past, and I am so thankful for my past, because if I wasn't able to have those experiences, I wouldn't be able to be here right now and talk about it. And also not realizing, like, when you're not aware about your own attachments, aware of your own mental health issues, that really does impact the relationship.
I want to go back to what you said, how how you used to overshare, and how me, like, I would not overshare. And It is exhausting to control your emotions too. Like, it's exhausting because, like, you need an outlet, like, you know, eventually. And the reason why I'm laughing is because, like, when we, for example, like, when I stub my toe, or, like, when I, like, hurt myself, I literally avoid the feeling. Like, I disattach. Like, I feel like I'm really good at disattaching from my body, where, like, when I hurt myself, I'm like, like, I'm not gonna feel this pain. So I literally, like, try to, like, control my pain. And then on the other hand, Cynthia, when you hurt yourself, you literally scream, announce, like, announce it. You want me to, like, say something. I'm like, what do you want me to say?
I need validation. That's what it's called. But besides the point, I'm working towards impact, changing that. Like, I told Samantha today.
No, I know. And it's, like, it's nothing, like, obviously against you. It's just more, like, it really does affect, like
that's everything. Attachment style. Like, that's legit a validation. Like, I was seeking outside validation.
Yeah, and it's crazy how, like, if you really, like, self-evaluate, you really see how your attachment styles really, like, tap into, like, your everyday life. Like, even those little things, like, about, like, me trying to not feel the pain, like, I'm here, like, trying to control, like, what I'm feeling. And, like, obviously it can be exhausting, but at times, like, I think it comes in handy. So
you don't think, because I, you know, I think of it and I'm like, when it comes down to it, I have always realized that almost every single person, that includes, like, people, like, my relationships, or people from my past or even people currently, like, I've always attracted avoidant people, like, starting with the person right next to me.
Who is that?
A ghost. And then I feel like you've always attracted more anxious people. And you know, I think it's because it's like we have to balance each other.
You know why? I think it's because when you're, like, expressing your emotions and, like, letting out, like, what you feel and all those things, like, it's freeing, right? Like, for someone that's from me looking at you, like, me, like, you know, avoidant.
Yeah.
And it feels freeing. Like, it feels like, oh, I can feel that too. Or I can announce that too. Like, it's not weak, you know, like, and then I feel like the reason why I attract, like, you know, anxious or more like, you know, someone that's a little bit more opposite than me, I think it's more grounding for them.
Yeah.
You know, they feel more grounded.
But I also feel like what we both have learned through all those experiences, like, you know, realizing, like, more of, like, giving access to your energy and your time. And I definitely have realized, like, one thing that I've, like, made, like, a mental note to myself is just being more mindful of my intentions and the energy I put out there. And whenever I talk to Samantha, it's like I'm talking to, like, my professor. I'm like, this is what I've done, and I want to explain my notes to you.
This is what I learned.
Yeah. And it's like a great feeling, because I also realized that, you know, when you are not aware about what you're doing, like, also even the line of work that you do, like, for example, I work in the nonprofit world, and working, like, 99% of my time with people, it's emotionally draining, and having to basically heal other people, and then somehow having to realize, like, when do I make time for myself, and then having to deal with that with, like, friends and things like that. It's like you have to be very mindful of, like the intentions that you put out there, the people that you attract, because when people sense that, you know, you're, like, this kind individual, or that you have, like, this vibrant energy, people want that.
Yeah.
Especially people that don't have that.
Yeah. That's why, like you mentioned, like, why do you attract people that are avoidant? It's because you have something that they don't have, essentially, right? Because you have the freedom to express yourself. And then us, we're like, like, you know, like, we second guess, like, a little bit more than you. So I think that's why it's, like, sometimes, like, opposites do attract, and you have to, like, really choose who you surround yourself with wisely. So so then, do you want to talk about, obviously, like, how you got through, like, your attachment style, and, like, what you're doing to self-improve, all those things? Because obviously, like, we still need to continue, like, you know, self-improving.
It's a forever work.
It's forever, yeah.
Like, 66, always have to work on yourself. Yeah, just so, like...
I'm like, who's 66?
I mean, hey, I just wanted to announce, I don't know if you all realize, but Fairfax on 66, like, the highway, it's finally done.
Oh, it really? It took forever. Okay, I would have got it if you said Miami, because Miami's always under construction.
Okay, sure, Miami. Well, okay. I feel like where I realized that my anxiety might have, like, where it got bad was, like, after my breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the reason why was because in the same time, I had no choice but to actually sit there and evaluate my emotions. And I didn't realize, like, when you are an anxious person, your thoughts, especially when it comes down to experiencing something that makes you feel uncomfortable, it's like you are basically feeding yourself your own poison.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's like a whole bunch of negative thoughts and negative mindsets that you see.
Yeah.
And now I think also what helped me was like, you know, I really enjoy nature. And I did a lot. I got really into, like, going on, like, long walks. Even when it was, like, snowing, I didn't care. I put my jacket on and I went on walks, because it actually, like, science does show, like, when you go outside, and if you actually put your, like, feet, it helps you feel grounded again, especially if you you feel like you might be going through a, like, crisis. And then afterwards, also, like, picking up journaling. So that was something that I did very big before I got in a relationship, and I felt like when I was in a relationship, I kind of stopped working on myself. So that's what I started doing again, is like journaling. And I also really started joining, improving and listening to podcasts, a lot of self-help ones. Mm-hmm. And from there, yeah, like I just started falling in love with those things. It's like, sometimes it's very hard, because it's like, you know, you're constantly having to, remind yourself, like, how you get better or how you're able to, like, improve is just being patient and realizing, like, all the work that you've done. And I realized myself, like, yeah, I am a better version of myself because I have learned to realize, like, yeah, I might have, like, fallen off the tracks at moments, but I've learned to just get back on. Like, for example, like, what I'm doing now, and I joke around with Samantha, is, like, I picked up swimming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is something I've been saying for years, like, I'm gonna swim, and, like, no, I finally started picking up swimming, and I'm very proud of myself, because when the person who is anxious, it's, like, we believe that we can't do anything, and how you're able to overcome it is to put yourself in like that. Or not, when I told Samantha, like, I have gone on a lot of self alone dates, and mm-hmm. I hated the thought about doing things
alone. Being alone, yeah.
And I'm that's like, nah, girl, like, it's time.
Yeah.
And yeah, so yeah, that's definitely a great feeling, is just like, just realizing, it's like, you just have to figure out what you like, and figuring out, like, what is, like, the best way to, like, you know, just to be a better version of yourself.
Exactly, yeah. I think you did mention about, like, self-awareness, right? Like, I feel like for me, something that really helps me is remembering that traumas don't only come from, like, the womb, right? Like, you mm-hmm. mentioned earlier, like, when you're in your mom's utero, and, you know, whatever she feels during your pregnancy, like, that really does affect you. But it's also the conditioning that you get when you were growing up. So if you're conditioned to do something, that's gonna become automatic, like, it becomes a habit. So to break a habit, you really have to, you know, choose to overcome yourself every single day. So I think that's something big that I remember. And I always, like, before reacting, I think it's also important to remember that you have to think before you react, right? Because that's the conditioning that you got when you were younger. So that's something automatic. Like, you can't help it but to react that way. So something that really helps me, especially, like, recently, because I'm, like, we're starting to, like, read and, like, learn more about this traumas, right? So I feel like it's so important to kind of be a judge of your thoughts and, like, your reactions, and not give in to them. Like, kind of, like, separate from your thoughts and ask yourself, like, why am I feeling like this, you know? Why do I usually react this way? Maybe it's because a trigger, or maybe because I went through something. It's, you get to know yourself a lot more and, like, deeper, you know? So I think that's something that I always feel that helps me. So just before I react or something, or to something that triggers me, I always have to be, like, a judge,
yeah,
towards myself, and just think, why am I feeling like this? Or, like, would this be a good outcome? After I do this, would it make me feel like this? Or, like, would it make me feel crappy, you know? So that's, like, a huge thing that really helps me, like, self-regulate my my reactions. So also remembering that everyone is like a human being. Everyone has their own triggers, everyone has their own traumas. So honestly, like, 99% of the time, like, it's not even personal. It's what they're going through, you know? It's not like everyone around you is perfect, so whatever they do to you, it's like, oh my god, like, it's so personal. Like, no, like, they're not perfect. It's because they're reacting to something that they've, you know, been through before. So I think just to have, like, that mindset of just being a little bit more open and understanding.
Yeah, no, it's true. I actually explained this to a friend a couple weeks ago. And I explained it as kind of like a job. Like, you have mm-hmm. to show up for yourself every single day.
Yeah.
It does not matter, like, whatever you're experiencing. Because at the same time, you have to remind yourself that, like, at the moment, yes, you might have a crappy day. Like, like earlier last week, like the first 3 days, I was like on a, like a big high, like so excited. I was waking up extremely early, going to gym, doing all this and this, and like I was like being very productive at work. And then like midweek, I just felt like I was falling off the rails. I was just like, oh my gosh. I was like, why can't I just be rich already? Like, I can't with this lifestyle. But in the same time, it's like just, you know, doing the small things. Like, I've always been a big believer, and I think Samantha might remember too, is like, I've always told myself, like, it doesn't even matter. Like, the one thing you can accomplish is making your bed. Like, a small little accomplishment makes your day.
Exactly.
And also the intentions that you put out there. And like you said, like, it's true. Like, you have to, like, I think that's something you're so good at, is like, you don't allow other people's emotions to impact you. And I've told you, like, I'm learning to do that. Like, for example, at work, like, my colleague, she said some type of remark, and I've always realized, like, in the past,
you're like, let me be heard.
No, it's like nothing bad though, but I was gonna say, like, in the past of how I've always been, is like, I react, like, I react towards anyone, and you know, maybe that's a double Leo within me, but I've been very quick to like clap back on people, and I'm like, no, why am I gonna get myself rattled up, cause my cortisol level to go high? And that does nothing for me, like, you know.
And then after that, you're gonna feel like crappy.
I'm like,
that
affects,
that one little interaction could affect your whole day, or like half, even like if you give, if it affects 20 minutes of your life, that's way too much.
Because your time is precious, you know. You don't know how long you're gonna be on this earth, so you might as well make the most of it. And that's what I realized, is just like, I tell myself every single time, like, there is some like negative thoughts that might be like piling up in my head, but I tell myself, I'm like, no, like, let me just be the bigger person. And how I responded back was like, oh, okay, like, thank you for like letting me know. I was just like, if that's how you feel, like, that's okay. And she just like looked at me like, wow, like, this is how she responded. And I'm like, I'm not gonna give the person the benefit of the doubt. And
or the satisfaction, you mean?
I'm not gonna like get down to your level, and it's like, if that's how you see things, you go ahead, you do that, that's your life. I'm glad to hear that I'm living your mind rent free, but I'm not doing it.
I think like this episode just reminds me again how it is important to know where all these traumas and all these reactions come from, because if you don't know where it started, you don't know, you know, the root of it, the cause. And I feel like when you know the root and cause of it, there is an easier way, or at least like a way for you to like actually understand yourself more, and like, you know, better your attachment style, or just, you know, just learn more, a little bit more about yourself. Like, so that's what taught me about why I am the way I am, and also just, you know, give grace to myself and like my family. And honestly, like, every day is like easier to like, you know, reroute my reactions instead of having the same reactions I used to have. Like, I feel like it's easier for me to kind of like self-talk myself and be like, you know, it's time for a change, you know. Like, every single day you need to pick between overcoming your habits and overcoming yourself. So
yeah, that's definitely,
or your old self. Yeah,
that's definitely something that I will always have to work on, and just realize that it's easier said than done.
It's really easy to say it.
But in the same time, you have to remind yourself, like, I'm like recording this with Samantha, I have a photo of like my little Cynthia, as like when she was like 5, and she's just like this happy little girl. And whenever I see a photo like that, it's like I have to remind myself, because like one thing that I will say that I will always have to be very mindful is like my negative thoughts. I realize like you are your harshest critic, and you know, no one expects you to do everything in one day, because that's not realistic.
Yeah, exactly. And what you think is who you become. So you're choosing. Because
reality.
Yeah, it becomes a reality. So who you're thinking and what you're constantly thinking about every single day, instead of being grateful, you're, I guess, a little bit more judgmental. Like, what do you think that person's day is going to look like? It's not going to be a good day. So every single day you're choosing to think the same thing. So eventually it's going to become your future. So I think it's important to know also like how your brain really affects your life and your future. So So I think that's something I always think about too.
Yeah. And then just remind yourself too, like the biggest thing of all is like, if you don't do it now, then when are you going to do it? Like, that's the honest
truth. Oh, tomorrow. They're going to be like, oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah. That's like kind of like when the, I'm going to start getting fit tomorrow. Like, nah, girl, just do it today.
Yeah. Do it now.
So baby steps, baby steps.
Yeah. Right. Thank you guys for tuning in to our second episode of The Glow Factor.
Yes, thank you indeed. We sincerely appreciate you guys, and we hope you guys have learned something new just from listening to us again.
Yeah, it was actually fun filming this one. I think we just like went on a rant, started talking about different things, but I'm excited for you guys to tune in again to our third episode.
Yes, yes, and hope you guys learned something more about us, got some tea. Don't be spilling it out to the TMZ, but we'll catch you on the flip side.
All right, bye guys.